the second Bible reading comes from Matthew chapter 7, from verse 13 to 28. So you can find it on page 961. And we're starting at verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
Thank you. Well, your green outline will help you, and if you keep that passage open in the Bibles in front of you and in the seats, it's on page 961. Well, I once had a job, a real job. Not that I don't have a job now, and that my job isn't real, but you know what I mean. I used to work for the Department of Community Services, or Youth and Community Services, as it was then known. And doing that work, it was pretty tough. We had to investigate complaints of child abuse, supervise state wards, investigate juvenile justice matters. It was pretty hard going. But then one time I was asked to do something which was one of the toughest assignments going. We had a home for state wards that was nearby, and each year the staff at the home used to take these kids down the Snowy Mountains to go skiing. And they were looking for people to assist. So they asked our local office at Campbelltown, would anyone put their hand up? And I knew it was a tough gig to go down there and spend a week of my work time skiing and skiing with these youngsters. But being the committed person that I was, I put my hand up and down I went. And I did that for a few years, but there was one time that I will never forget. Myself and one other leader took a group of these teenagers on a half-day cross-country ski trip out the back of Mount Selwyn Ski Resort. We had been gone for a few hours and the sun was getting lower in the sky and it was time to return. We followed the trail that had been cut by the snowplough that morning, but we soon came to an intersection. There were two trails heading in totally different directions. The sun by now was getting very low in the sky, the temperature was dropping, and in a few hours it would be pitch black. We had a decision to make. There were two alternatives before us. I consulted map and compass and I discussed our position with my fellow leader. Neither of us was really sure which trial to choose. But after weighing up all the options, we made a choice and headed off. The teenagers were oblivious to our uncertainty and fear. And as we headed down that trail that we had chosen, I remember thinking that if we got it wrong, that the consequences could be disastrous. And when we made it to the top of the home run at Selwyn, all the lifts were shut. The slopes were clear except for the snow ploughs grooming the runs for the next day, and it was already starting to get dark. I was hugely relieved that we had made the right choice, and I silently offered a prayer to God, thanking him for his protection. Now, that was a huge decision to make, a decision that we couldn't afford to have got wrong. In that case, it was more good fortune, or should I say, God's provision, that we got it right. But friends, the passage that was just read for us by Sarah says that the most important decision of all awaits us. Get this decision wrong, and the consequences most definitely will be disastrous. And so we see that before us all lies a surprising decision to make. For we will discover that there are but two ways to live, and we will have to choose a path. There can be no sitting on the fence. There can be no waiting on the sidelines. It would have been no use if we just sat there in the snow and thought, which way will we go? Let's just wait a while. There is a choice that must be made. And there are only two options to choose from. So let me read for you from Matthew 7:13-14 again. The large numbers are the chapter numbers and the little numbers are the verse numbers. And in those pew Bibles, it's headed narrow and wide gates. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Firstly, we can see that you can only enter through one of two gates, either the narrow gate or the wide gate. As a young child, I used to go to the Sydney Cricket Ground to watch the Rugby League Grand Finals with my dad and my brother. We would get there early. We didn't have reserve tickets. We were going to the outer ground, as it was known. We'd get there about 5 a.m. and line up with all the others and wait for the gates to open about 7 a.m. and then once in, run all the way to grab a coveted spot in the bob stand, for all those who remember the little bob stand. But the thing that I remember about those gates is how narrow they were. Just enough for one person to squeeze through at a time, and you'd have to breathe in even as a young child. And at the end of the game, the big gates would be swung open and hundreds, thousands could walk through them. But to get in, it was small and narrow. Well, Jesus here exhorts his listeners, enter through the narrow gate. After having preached the far-reaching demands of the kingdom, Jesus doesn't just leave it there. He calls for a decision. He doesn't say, try a bit harder or pull up your socks, but he says, enter by the narrow gate. You can see that a conscious decision needs to be made. You won't just drift into God's family. So let me ask you, have you, like Holly and Simon, entered that gate that leads to eternal life? I am not asking, have you ever joined a church, or do you endeavour to lead a good life? Nor am I asking, are you impressed by the teachings of Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount? But I am asking, have you entered that narrow gate that leads to life? To enter the narrow gate means that we have to leave everything behind. It was impossible to squeeze anything through that SCG gate except yourself. You had to hold your bag in front of you or your esky above your head with all your stuff in it. You couldn't just get through with a whole lot of stuff. And to enter the gate to life means leaving all your pride, all your pretense, all your self-achievement behind. When I was changing churches almost 10 years ago now and started at this church, we took a holiday before we came here and the family went to Vanuatu. And when it was time to go through the gates with your gear that they checked before getting on the plane, they discovered that we had sunscreen, quite a lot of it, about 5 tubes full, in our carry-on luggage. Leave it behind, they said. We had bottled water as well. Leave that behind. I didn't want to leave those things behind. Spent a lot of money on that sunscreen. I didn't want to get sunburnt. But if we wanted to go through the gate and get on the plane, we had to leave them behind. To enter through the narrow gate, we, in a sense, have to leave everything behind us. For as the very beginning of the sermon tells us, it is only those who are poor in spirit who will enter the kingdom of heaven. It is those who say, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling. We come in humility and say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, wash me, as was symbolized for us in the baptism this morning. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. The gate is open now. I remember lining up on those cold September mornings and just seeing a closed gate and waiting for the gates to open. And then the excitement when they opened and I could walk through. Friends, the gate to life, the gate to a relationship with Jesus is open now. But you need to enter by it, and it won't always be open. The time will come when it is too late. If you've ever been to a musical or a ballet or an opera at the opera house, and you're running late, you're caught in traffic, and the doors are shut, and the sign goes up, entrance allowed until the end of the first act or something. And you may have paid a lot of money for those tickets. Well, when that sign goes up, for life, it won't be after the first act. It'll be too late. You've missed out. Enter by the narrow gate, says Jesus. Now, if you haven't done that, then you have entered by the broad gate. It is not hard to find that gate. You can enter through it with all your baggage. You don't have to leave anything behind. It is an easy gate to enter through. Is that the gate that you've walked through in life without even noticing it? Yes, you can only enter through one of two gates. And secondly, you can only travel on one of two roads. Either the broad road or the narrow road. Many enter through the wide gate and travel on the broad road. There is plenty of room for everyone on this road. You can believe what you like. You can hold to any philosophy you like. There you will find few boundaries of thought and conduct. It is a free, liberated road to travel. And you'll never be alone on this road. You'll be going along with the crowd. You can take all your sins with you. You can keep living for yourself. And you won't feel like the odd one out. You'll feel very comfortable on this road. The other road, though, is narrow, like the gate. To travel this road, you have to live the way Jesus wants you to live. Now, to live his way, and this is important, to live his way isn't the ticket to entrance on the road, but it is the lifestyle of those on the road. The way to enter through the narrow gate is to put our trust in Jesus, to say to him that I've got nothing to say except forgive me, to say I want you to be my saviour, that I want you to wash me. But the gate that leads to the narrow road will result in a changed lifestyle. You make Jesus as the Lord of your life. You will live the way that he wants you to live. You will do what he wants and won't do what he doesn't want you to do. The road, like the gate, is narrow. and we need to stay within the confines of the road, only walk in the way that Jesus would have us walk. This is not being able to go your own way, as Fleetwood Mac would have us do. It can be lonely on this road. You will be the odd one out on many occasions. So you can only enter through one of two gates. You can only travel on one of two roads. And you can put in a third dot point there. You can only arrive at one of two destinations. The surprising thing is that the popular road leads to a lousy destination. In fact, it leads to destruction. People on this road get swept along with the crowd, not realising all along that they're heading for destruction. The emerald ash borer beetle was a little beetle that destroyed emerald ash trees in the US. It spread across 15 states by hitching a ride on firewood that had been moved. And over at least a 10-year period from 2002, it destroyed tens of millions of those trees simply by going with the flow, just getting carried along by those moving logs. People on the broad road are a little bit like those beetles. They keep moving along, carried along by the crowd, and not having to think about where they're being moved towards. Now, the masses on this road, in one sense, carry one another along. They hitch a ride with one another, not thinking about where they are going. The difference between them and these beetles is that the destruction comes to them at the end of the road instead of them being the ones wreaking destruction along the way. People might enjoy the ride, albeit at a superficial level, but forget the destination. Now, we don't usually go down to a big bus exchange like at Wynyard, and there's a whole stack of buses, and we just go, I'll get on that one. Where do you want to go? Hornsby. But you're not on it. No, it doesn't matter. Just take me wherever. We'll go to the airport and buy a ticket. Where do you want to go? Don't care. Okay. I'll sell your ticket to Acapulco. We don't do that. We know where we want to go, and we buy the ticket accordingly. But when it comes to eternity, many people do that. They are on a road to nowhere. Except it's not nowhere that they're headed, but to destruction. People travel this road and don't know the destination except when it is too late. On the other hand, the narrow road leads to life, to a life which is fellowship with God forever. Yes, there is a surprising choice to be made. There are only two ways to live. But next, I want us to see that there was a surprising declaration that was made. Follow with me from verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. From this we learn the uselessness of a mere outward profession of Christianity. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So it would have been no good for Holly here to say, yes, Jesus is my Lord, and to be baptized if that's all that happened. There's nothing magic in that water. It's her faith in the Lord Jesus and what he has done for her that is important. See, can you see the great tragedy in a mere outward profession? There will be those who think that all is well between them and God. They profess Jesus is Lord. They think they're travelling on the narrow road when in actual fact they're travelling on the broad road. And when the day of judgment comes, those shocking words will ring out, and they will be so surprised when they hear, away from me, I never knew you. Such people are those who have chosen to ignore God. Now, we don't like being ignored. And neither too does God. if we confess him as Lord, we must live with him as Lord. He must call the shots. He must be in charge of your life. Now, this doesn't mean that good works are the means of salvation, but they are the test of salvation. You can't enter the narrow gate and walk the broad road. So the question before us is not, do you call Jesus Lord, but do you live with Jesus as Lord? As verse 20 says, by their fruits you will know them. And so do your works declare that Jesus is your Lord? Someone once said, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? A surprising choice before us all. There are only two ways to live. A surprising declaration to some who call Jesus Lord. Away from me, you evildoers. And now, thirdly and lastly, a surprising discovery unearthed. Verses 24 to 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Imagine two houses side by side in Palm Beach with great ocean views. Both beautiful to behold, both architect designed. Many bedrooms, three garages, only the best materials used. And as people walk down the street, they stop and comment on it. In particular, on how magnificent those two houses are. But there is one big difference that you can't tell from the outside, which is only discovered when the storm comes. After a mighty storm comes, when the rains come down and the streams rise and the winds blow and belt against the houses, one falls and only one is left standing. The one that remains is the one with the right foundation, the one that is built on rock. The house of your life might appear to be in order and looks impressive from the outside. But one day, for some, there will be a surprising discovery. It will all come crashing down. The ones who will stand on that day, says Jesus, are those who hear his words, put their faith and trust in him, and put his words into action. It is those who make the choice to enter by the narrow gate and to travel down the narrow road and to arrive at the destination not of rejection but of destruction. To arrive at the destination of life itself. So, friends, there are only two ways to live. There are only two gates to enter through. There are only two paths to travel down, and there are only two destinations to be reached. And so these words of Jesus ought to raise great searchings of heart in the minds of all who hear them. By which way am I going? By which road am I travelling? Have we heeded the command of Jesus to enter by the narrow gate? Or are we on the road that leads to destruction? A greater choice in life no one can make. The great news is Jesus wants you in his kingdom. He wants you to enter his family by saying yes to him. Are you just drifting along the broad road, having never entered the narrow gate? Have you entered in? Are you walking? Are you on your way home? Don't put off the decision. Realize, like Holly did, how important it is and do your research. Friends, some of you this morning may be wondering whether you have entered by the narrow gate. You think, maybe I have, I'm not sure. If that is you, talk to me, or if you come with Holly and Simon, talk to them. Or send an email to the church office saying you want to do our next Christianity Explored course. But whatever you do, don't put it off. For this is the most important question that you will ever have to answer. And remember the two destinations, either life itself or destruction. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that we are invited to enter your kingdom. Help us to enter. Help us to walk along the narrow road and to remember our destination of life with you for eternity. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, indeed, there is no other name by which we can be saved but the name of the Lord Jesus. We're going to stand and sing about that now. The offertory will be collected. If you're visiting or new today, just let the bags pass you by. Please be our guest. We stand to sing.